Chapter 4. Black Night, Red Dawn. I knew not what to feel at the sight of him. Joy and rage, envy and pride. But the voices in my head sang mostly of dread. He stood at the head of the storm, that army of the moon's throne cupped in the palms of cracking thunder, ash drinker naked in his hands. He strode forward, Phoebe Adansaire beside him, the flesh witch's flame-red locks bound into thick slayer braids threaded with gold. Gabriel's blood-red greatcoat and ink-black hair whipped about him in the winter winds, and his eyes were the grey of the clouds he roared over.
Divok!
Atop the broken walls of his city, the priori of the untamed stood. His jaw was set, dread epitaph on his shoulder, bloodlords gathered about him like dark angels. Furious glares were thrown toward Kiara, the wolf mother, standing with head bowed, fists curled at the sight of the living legend she'd claimed to have killed, apparently living still. But Nikita spared not a glance for his child, nor her shame, looking instead toward his foe.
The Black Lion, a guest most honored. Welcome, Nikita bids thee.
My brother shook his head as he called reply.
Listen, I know none of your dogs have the balls to tell you this, but do you have any idea what a fucking wanker you sound, referring to yourself in third person?
Nikita laughed.
I am delighted to learn the rumour of thy death was unfounded, DeLeon. To gods and devils did I pray that one night we might meet again. Apologies, I don't remember meeting you the first time. Were you at the Crimson Glade? I was too busy cleaning your father off my sword for proper introductions. Let us have them, then.
The Blackheart opened his arms to encompass the city his broodsire had never come close to taking.
I am conqueror of Dunfas, destroyer of Dun Sadabe, despoiler of Dun Quinn, defiler of Dun Aris. All Oswe kneels now at my feet or lies buried by my hand. Welcome to the Kingdom Divok, DeLeon. Nikita is its sovereign, and all in it pay him homage.
Gabriel's eyes roamed the shattered walls, the broken stone, the ruin Nikita had made of this realm in his quest to seize it.
I love what you've done with the place.
Nikita laughed, fangs glinting as the lightning flashed.
A long journey thou hast made by thy look. Desire for hospitality hast thou?
The Count Divok motioned to the mighty gates.
Enter and be welcome, DeLeon, but pray ye come alone. Well could we accommodate thee in settings more intimate.
Gabriel's fist tightened on his blade as he muttered,
Soon, bastard. No,
Nikita smiled.
Alas, we shall be forced to set ourselves upon another of San Michon's pretty sons then. But no fear, Lion. Well satisfied hath he kept us.
The Count Divok glanced over his shoulder, beckoning.
Be that not so, Golden One.
A figure moved through the flock of devils, taking his place at Nikita's side. And as Gabriel looked up into his face, I saw my brother's already broken heart cleaved deeper.
That is so, Aaron da Costa called. Master.
Oh, God, Gabriel whispered. Oh, no. Aaron and Gabriel stared at each other across that falling snow and an ocean of time. Boys they'd been when they first met, hated foes who had forged an unlikely friendship that burned bright as silver flame. A light in darkest times had their brotherhood been. If not for the Lord of Avalane,
Gabriel and the Grail would have fallen into the Beast of Verlaine's clutches. But now, Aaron stood in the grip of one darker still. Gabriel's jaw was one clenched knot, eyes ablaze with hatred even as they filled with tears. One more loss. One more thing taken. And a part of me wondered then how much my brother had left inside him to give. He looked to Dior, the Grail beside her mistress, tears frozen on her lashes. His eyes roamed the shattered battlements, that court of the blood, the get of the great Toliev. Untamed, one and all, strong as mountains and cold as winters, who had in 2 short years made a desolation of this country he had in his youth, risked life and soul to defend.
I'm going to make ashes of each and every fucking one of you, he hissed.
How comes it thou art here? It was Lily who called now, blood-red hair flowing in the wind about her like a cloak, black eyes fixed on Phoebe.
A long trek be ye from thy clanhold, Fionn d'Etre, she called. No foot hath blood Divok set upon Highland's hallowed soil since Pax was fair struck. Yet now ye stand arrayed for war upon our doorstep, in defiance of oath and troth, etched in word and stone.
The eldest Divok gazed among the legion behind Gabriel, raising her voice above the thunder.
Be there no honour amongst the sons of Malath, the daughters of Lainis and Lainé? A shame upon thee, I name it, to break holy vow sworn on sacred ground.
Phoebe stepped forward, glowering up at the walls. Her eyes were smeared with a streak of moon's blood, sharp teeth bared in a snarl. She reached beneath the graven breastplate of steel she wore, snapping the leather thong at her throat and holding aloft a small vial for all to see. And with a curse, she hurled it toward those walls, the metal flashing the same gold as her eyes, as an arc of perfect white light cut the skies.
There's your fucking honour, Winterwife!
Nikita glowered at his sister, but Lily yet stared at the flesh witch, lips thin.
Ye have stolen the strength of Ophain, Phoebe cried. And by my mother moons and earth, father, by our blood and breath, we are here to reclaim it.
She pointed to the broken battlements, roaring to the legions behind.
Death to traitors! Death to Divok!
Death, came the roar behind her. Hundreds upon hundreds of slayers, swords pounding shields, lightning flashing upon tooth and claw, wolves and bears and lions howling to their hidden mothers above. Death! A stone flew from the darkness, large as a horse, silent as smoke. Gabriel grabbed the flesh witch and hauled her aside as it struck the snow where she'd stood, landing with the force of 1,000 hammers. The frozen earth was blasted apart, splinters flying as the stone bounced toward the Dusk Dancer legions. The figures scattered, the boulder crashing among them, snow spraying, thunder rolling. Another chunk of broken parapet followed the first, thrown by the Blackheart, the ancient flinging the massive stones like some vengeful god. Gabriel and Phoebe danced back again, the granite spar crashing to the earth and fracturing into 12 smaller shards, spraying among the troops. Chaos rained down their line, the dancer formation breaking apart as yet another massive chunk of battlement crashed among them, stone shattering as if it were glass. Nikita stood atop the walls of his city, another broken spar of masonry poised in one hand. It was huge, tons in the weighing, yet wielded as easily as a child with a stick. Fangs bared, he hurled it, godlike strength sending it sailing through the dark, farther than any trebuchet or catapult, crashing among the retreating dancers.
Aye, run, he roared. Run, drag thy craven carcasses back to the mire that birthed ye, afore bedding I make of thy flea-bitten hides.
The Divok jeered, but none dared climb down from the walls to give the enemy chase. And though they spat at the retreating Highlanders, all knew their foes would return when the frail sun shone in the sky, vampires all the weaker for it. The claws and teeth of dusk dancers could end kith swift as silver, and the number Gabriel and his flesh witch had gathered must have been terrifying to anyone with desire to live forever, let alone rule. Nikita descended the battlements, his court behind him, all of them a murmur. Reaching the flagstones, the Priore Divok turned to his bloodlords, dark eyes ablaze.
Thy scorched shall each ye set here upon outer wall. Let the cattle be the first to bleed. We highborn shall guard the walls to Olten and Porten. Hold them there, should they run the gauntlet of our foul bloods.
Turning to Cain, he spoke with a voice like iron.
No food for the mongrels tonight. Let them be hungry when the dancers come. Saraya!
He turned to his youngest.
Take 6 riders to the Ord, there to seek the lady's voice. Inform the terrors we shall have their father's prize trimmed and trussed when they arrive. But if they've a will to see this slip unharmed, hasten, might they, to her defense.
What madness be this? Nikita turned, glowering as Lily descended the shattered stone stair.
Preparations for battle, sister. No surprise be it, ye did not recognize them.
Thou wouldst trade my property without my...
My property!
Nikita snarled, storming over to loom but inches from his broodmate's face.
Nikita is priori, and all thou hast he allows. Contend he was to indulge thee this.
He waved at Dior,
so long as it served to do so. Yet since thou hast failed...
What failure, mine? Lily demanded. Blood blighted for thy conquest I hath given thee. Lord's legion for thy army I hath given thee. Truce with dancers I hath...
Ye dare bleat of truce with foes that mass outside, waiting only for dawn's light.
I crow of it. By mine own hand was it carved in stone, and seek ye fumbling fingers to blame for its breaking. Look not to thy sister, Nikita, but thy daughter. The heartless turned, scowling at Kiara. Mledi, forgive me, the wolf mother frowned, but I've not compound not failure with further deceit. We know full well thy vial was lost in pursuit of the lion. Our secrets given unto the enemy, and for what? Justice claimed, yet not delivered. De Leon looks sprightly indeed for a dead man. Kiara glared at Cain, standing in the snow beside the Dragan and Alex. And though butter will not melt in any vampire's mouth, historian, the headsman made a fine show of looking cooler than most. All around the bailey, the Lord's Divok whispered, Kiara's stolen laurels crumbling now to dust. Dior kept her face like stone, but glanced toward the swordmaids, her pulse running quicker as Arlin met her eyes, as Gillian risked a tiny smile. The cracks were showing, Nikita's alliance beginning to crumble. How swift might it collapse if they but pushed?
Ride ye for the voice, daughter, Nikita snapped, glowering at Saraya. Spare not the whip. Tell Alba and Elaine they shall have their father's prize if troops they bring to bear for her defence. If not...
He glowered at Dior.
They may have what is left by the crows.
Saraya bowed, and with a scowl toward Cain, a sad glance toward her brood sister, she marched for the stables. All about them, the Highbloods were awhirl, giving orders for their mortal troops to man the outer walls. It was a brutal sort of plan, and we could see the Count Divok was a general to be respected. Have the Highlanders wade through the mortal thrall swords first, spending their strength, then run the gauntlet of Foulbloods in Newton before ever they reached the Highbloods on Olten's walls. The Dragan's fleet owned Porton and the Gulf of Wolves, and besides, the Highlanders had no ships. A frontal assault would be their only choice. It would be a massacre, and the first to fall would be men and women who only stood the defence because the blood in their veins demanded they do so. Amid the clamour, Kiara walked up to her dark father, her once lover, standing like stone in the falling snow. The alabaster of Nikita's brow was creased in thought, midnight eyes on the walls above. But as Kiara spoke, his gaze fell on her.
Forgive me.
'Tis true, then, he asked. He lost me my truce in pursuit of the lion.
I sought only to please ye, Kiara whispered, lifting her eyes to his. To slay the murderer of your noble father, to have ye look upon me as once ye did. Nikita, I...
His hand flashed out, seizing the wolf mother's throat. Kiara gurgled as she was hauled off the ground like she weighed nothing, flesh slowly pulping in Nikita's awful grip.
I gave thee this life, daughter, just as simply might I take it.
If such be my lord's wish, she whispered, ever will I bow to it.
Nikita looked his brood child over, eyes dark and bottomless. There was no trace of old affection in him for her, we saw, not one drop of love. Kiara had been Nikita's prey, a lamb unexpectedly become a wolf after its slaughter, a body to be used, then discarded. We wondered why she still knelt in his shadow. Long years had obviously passed since she'd drunk from his wrist, and any false affection would have faded with the decades. Perhaps the devil you know is always better. Perhaps it was simply a matter of misery loving company, for surely there are none more miserable than the children of the damned. But she spoke then, a simple truth we had never considered.
I love ye.
But Nikita only shook his head.
Ye bore me.
He tossed her backward, a flick of his wrist, sending her into the wall. She struck with the crash of thunder and breaking bone, flesh crushed by the ancient's strength. As the wolf mother collapsed onto the flagstones, the other members of Nikita's court looked on without pity. Cain, smirking to himself at his older cousin's fall from grace. Her father loomed over her, eyes black as heaven. And as all in the court watched, the wolf mother crawled back up to her knees and knelt bleeding in her father's shadow.
Deceiver,
the Dragan murmured, shaking his head.
Coward, Alex sneered. The untamed kneel for none.
Murmurs rippled among the bloody court, hissed curses, bloody spit striking stone, and the black cart looked down on his old love without pity, pale lips curled.
Get thy scorched to the walls, and thank thy god I do not stand thee among them.
Nikita turned, stalking back through the ruins, eyes of the wretched horde downturned as he passed them by. With a glance toward the battlements, Aaron followed on his master's heels. Lily walked behind, the Dragan flanking her, speaking swiftly to his broodmother. All about them, the court of the Divok made ready for battle. Lightning sliced the sky wide open, hungry thunder roaring. and in its wake, Kiara dragged herself up from her knees. Back at the keep, Nikita headed to the Hall of Plenty, there to take counsel with his bloodlords. Lily banished her handmaids to their chambers, ordered Dior locked in her boudoir, thrall swords on guard outside. While plans were hatched behind closed doors, the Grail was left standing at her window, staring out into the night. We felt her pulse flutter, her heart thrash quicker as she pressed one hand to the glass and sighed.
Bloody hell.
The bookshelf opened at her back, and Lady Rain slipped into the room. The Princess Amergen strode to the Grail's side, squeezing Dior's shoulder, smiling fierce.
God and Mother Maid be praised. What the hell are we praising them for?
Dior muttered.
Salvation,
Rain hissed, gesturing to the dark outside.
The Black Lion of Lawson has come to your defence, a legion of Highlanders at his side. I remember meeting him when I was but a bairn, knighted in this very city by my mother's own hand. She always spoke tales of his prowess, his brilliance in battle. This is the miracle we prayed for.
Miracle, my shapely arse. It's going to be a fucking slaughter.
For the Divok, we...
Rain took Dior's hand, squeezed tight.
Courage now, Mademoiselle Dior. We've not been idle. Lady Arlene's husband is freed from his blood bondage, as are Gillian's and Morgana's beaux, both of whom serve as guards of Lily's chambers. With a few more drams and the grace of God, we shall have force enough to strike, and what happens at dawn, when Gabe and his friends hit those walls? Don't you see? That is our chance. Lily is no warrior to stand upon the battlements with Nikita and his lords. She'll be alone, vulnerable. And if we strike, blades anointed with your blood, all her household might be freed with one stroke. Hundreds of people, dozens of... I mean, what happens to them?
Dior pointed through the window to the bailey below. Preparations for battle were underway. Anyone capable of swinging a blade was being handed one, and though mortal, the force there arrayed was no trifle. Behind their broken battlements, and with the strength of their dark masters in their veins, the Divok scorched would paint those walls with Highlander blood before they fell. Black night above promised a red dawn amorrow.
Gabriel told me he'd fight through the legions of hell to get back to my side,
Dior said.
He sure as shit won't think twice about cutting those poor bastards to pieces. But those people out there didn't choose to serve. They fight because they're forced to.
This is war.
Rain shook her head.
I told you, it's no small thing to send folk to their deaths, but that's what it is to be a leader. If I'm not a leader, I've no fucking idea what I'm doing.
That is the best way to do something that's never been done.
Dior blinked at that, unsure if it tasted like wisdom or madness.
You've a golden heart, Dior Lachance.
Rain shook her head, gaze soft.
Perhaps that is why the Almighty chose you to be the bearer of his blood. But while we all of us pray nights like this never come, it's what we do on the morrow that will truly matter.
Dior scowled, dragged a shaking hand through her hair.
We need to stop. Think. We've not that luxury.
Rain's voice was filled with fire, eyes ablaze.
The battle for this city begins at dawn, and I, for one, am willing to die for it.
Dior looked to the princess then, her eyes taking the older girl in. She was taller, harder, every bit her mother's daughter. Her hair was summer flame, her eyes mismatched jewels. And though not a single portrait of her hung in this keep, it was easy to imagine her likeness gracing the walls of the Hall of Crowns below. Clad not in servant's cloth, but shining steel, a sword held aloft to heaven and God's fire in her eyes.
I can't say I much fancy the thought of you dying,
Dior murmured.
Hold no fear for what is coming, Dior. It is coming anyway. I know, I just...
The princess still held the Grail's hand, and as she spoke, Dior grazed one thumb ever so soft across Rain's skin. The Grail risked a glance. Up. Up into the older girl's eyes, searching those mismatched jewels for some hint of warmth. But Rain's grip softened then, falling away from Dior's, her expression grown clouded and cold. The Grail sighed, scolding herself beneath her breath and turning toward the window. She searched the dark outside, lips pressed thin, jaw clenched.
"I'm sorry," she whispered. "That was foolish and fucking childish. This isn't the time."
Her voice faltered, skin prickling as she felt a touch on her hand, light as featherdown. She turned back, found the princess looking at her, those failing eyes aglow as lightning cut the sky outside. Her expression was not clouded now, but pained that they stood on the edge of some vast new shore, never to be wondered.
"No time for sweeter things, Mademoiselle Dior," Rain smiled sadly. "No time at all."
The Grail chewed her lip, heart suddenly afire.
"Then we need to buy some. I mean, not for..."
Dior swallowed, nodded to the window, the troops mustering for a war they'd never see the end of.
"For them."
Rain shook her head.
"Even if it were wise to do so, how could it be done? Dawn awaits for no one, and the Black Lion comes with it."
Dior dragged a hand through her hair again, eyes on the storm outside. And though we knew with certainty what would come next, still our blood ran chill as she spoke.
"Selene."
With heavy wings, our mote fluttered from the red jewels at her throat, alighting on her outstretched fingertip. She held us up to her face as if to study us, a droplet of blood given will and form, eyes of pale blue and gleaming red locked on one another.
"I need you to talk to Gabriel."
Tap, tap.
"I know he won't be pleased to see you."
She shook her head.
"I know you've business unfinished, that you had something to do with his fall at Cairnhaim, but the..."
Tap, tap.
"This is too important. This is thousands of lives, Highlander and Scorched alike. You need to convince them to hold off their attack. Gabe always said there is no one more frightened of dying than things that live forever, and not a one of these bastards wants to be on that wall when hell hits. If we end Nikita and Lily, this whole rotten house of cards comes tumbling down."
Our wings held still, save for the smallest trembling.
"Please, Selene,"
she whispered.
"I know there's a world of difference between us, and a part of me still trusts you not at all. But if you truly serve the Almighty as you claim, you'll not consign those innocents out there to death, not if there's a chance to save them."
The Daughter of the Nine Swords watched on, but the Grail stared only into our eyes. This was foolish, to risk so much for one child's mercy. But we'd let fury and fear rule us once before, when we let my brother fall, and all since had been fire and misery. The voices within me were a clamour, a storm, outrage and scorn and disbelief, threatening for just a moment to overwhelm me. I thought of Genoa's tomb then, the words he had writ in his own blood upon it. "This weight too long. This weight too heavy." I envied him the silence he must know now. But beyond their cries, the echoes of all those stolen souls who shared this immortal shell, there was a question only Selene Castilla asked herself. "If I cannot trust my fate to the Almighty's hands, can I say I hold faith in him? And if I did not hold faith in him, why would he hold it in me?" And so, despite the roars of protest inside my skull, the echoes and tumult within me shrieking their dark discord, I gave myself to his keeping, lifted up our wings, tap